terrible, heartless men. So all you can do is turn away from the filth and hopefully start to build something new someday. And it affects all of us. It affects the people here, too. So here's a turning away song.
Can I listen to a little of this wonderful song, Richard? You got it going? Can you just let it play for a little bit longer? This song is actually called I Ain't A Marchin' Anymore, another Phil Oakes song, and it was one of his first protest songs. It seems like it's from truly decades ago. Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, SALLAN.com. We are about to start Family Financial Matters with Jim Sheinberg. What is more pressing for families than money issues, especially given our times? So I would like to introduce Jim Sheinberg, who is the managing partner of North Pier Fiduciary Management. He received his Certified Investment Management Analyst designation from the Wharton School of Business, and he has been advising institutions and families on their investments for over 20 years. I might add, he has been my personal and family's financial advisor for almost that long as well, so I can offer my personal endorsement without question. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hi there, Bruce. How are you?
I am very well. As I'm seeing the Dow skirt 12,000, I'm feeling a little more secure financially at this moment, but I know that will, big pause, big drum roll, change.
Well, I mean, we can't possibly have a better period of time to talk about change in finances than the last 3 years in American global markets, can we? It is truly been a sea change, a changing of the guard, a changing of attitudes, and just an opportunity for everybody to reassess what they thought were the tenets of investing.
And you have held my hand through these changes, I might add, as I know you hold all your clients' hands. But how and what would you advise our listeners as far as the roller coaster we've been facing these last three years?
Well, it's to embrace change. Just as Pastor Drew had said, you know, the first thing that can happen, especially when a negative change hits people, is they can choose to wallow in it. The reality is
or overreact.
Or overreact.
Sell. You know, the market goes down, sell, which of course is always a disaster.
Right. Well, so react is the thing you don't want to do. Adapt is the thing that you probably do want to do if the playing field has changed. I mean, we've had a lot of change just in my short 20-year career. If you look back in the history, we shifted from a period of time of where the old guard was, that we talked about this last week, as a matter of fact, that you bought stocks from a broker, and now everybody's working with advisors and money managers. So you can't just bury your head in the sand and do it like you always did, because just like technology, and you mentioned this in your column, just like technology changes, so does the investment world.
And the old hold and buy and hold philosophy is also, I think, a teeny bit outmoded.
Well, certainly, but the old adage, and this is more psychologically based, was people would just buy things and hold on to them. If they did well, they'd held on to them because they liked them, and if they didn't do well, they'd hold on to them because they would just hope that things got better. Completely emotional responses instead of just making analytical decisions based on what the current conditions of either your stocks or your bonds or your mutual funds were at that particular period of time.
So the point there, of course, is, again, a willingness and an openness to embrace change versus feeling stuck.
It's very true. Constantly everybody needs to be reviewing, and we talked about this last week as well, reviewing where you are. You need to look to see whether or not change is merited, not because you're reacting to short-term market conditions, but because maybe the way you've been going about doing things isn't really serving you anymore. Maybe you're using an outdated mode or process. Maybe your investments haven't performed the way that they should have, and it's time to look for new ones. The key is to make that analysis, to actually take that time to pause and really make it about a good, well-thought-out decision and not necessarily just change for change's sake. But things have definitely changed, so people need to be looking at things anew and decide whether or not they're investing like the days of old or whether they're investing for the 2011 world that we see in front of us.
Well, one of the things that you and I have talked about as far as my own personal finances has been the change in the status of United States as a global power, as a financial place to invest. And what might you add about that as far as the world markets?
Well, talk about change. I mean, it's not just the supremacy of the United States recently, but back when I got into the business, the United States represented about 60% of all public companies and public capital that was out there. It's better than a 50-50 of the market share of the investment opportunities that were out there. Now, that number is approaching a third. We'll probably see it get down to a third within inside this decade. But yet, people in America still continue to invest the vast majority of their investment capital in the United States. That number has climbed into the low teens as in terms of foreign diversification. But yet the institutions, my clients who are institutions, we're in the 30-35% category.
And so you're about double the norm is what you're saying.
Well, we're double the average investor. We're double the retail investor. The institutional investor has moved very quickly into the 30s because they've adapted to this new era. And maybe that's because they're disinterested. It's not their money. They're fiduciaries over that money, over those pension plans, over those endowments, and it's not theirs. So maybe it's by removing the emotion of the equation, they're actually able to adapt more, whereas the individual investor, the family, is still wed to that old, well, I've got to invest in IBM because it's what I know, and they don't know about investing in Lenovo over in China, so they stay away from it because it sounds scary.
Our president recently not only gave his State of the Union, but had a meeting with the head of China. I don't know if he's called the premier or the emperor or whatever. And, of course, China is on everybody's minds these days, not just because of Tiger Mom, but because of the economic power that China is now exerting. Talk about China a little bit, please.
Well, China's you can't ignore the 3,000-pound panda in the room.
Or the 1.3 billion people.
Right, exactly. But even in of itself, China represents the biggest change in the financial markets, not just presently, but to come. They are the largest foreign buyer of our debt, not the single largest foreign holder, but they're about to take over that role as well. And China's viewpoint towards trade and towards currency could massively change the way the financial system in the United States and for that matter, the developed world works over the next several years. You have to have a policy and an eye towards it. You can't just ignore it and pretend it's not happening. Whether you're a bull on the U.S. dollar or a bear, whether you think you need to buy gold because of interest rates, or whether you think you need to be invested in emerging markets, or whether you think you should be investing in companies like Coke that sell into China, you have to have a view towards it, because if you don't, you're missing the biggest thing that's probably coming of the next generation.
We are almost out of time, Jim. Please tell my listeners about your newsletter, how to reach you, as well as a question back about China, which is, how does the average investor invest in China? Is the best way through a multinational company like Coke?
Wow. Well, if you have an hour-long show when you get back from vacation, we can do it exclusively on the best way to invest in China. And then I would say,
give me your Twitter answer.
Whether we'd be right.
Give me your Twitter answer.
My Twitter answer is the best way to invest is probably go to Walmart or Costco and buy cheap Chinese goods.
Okay. Now, how do we reach you and tell us about the newsletter?
We actually are about to put out our winter copy of the newsletter literally over this weekend. We do have views about the emerging markets and the global markets expressed in there. So if people want to learn more about China and about change in the financial markets in general, by all means, send me an email to info@npier.com. That's info@npier.com. And we'd be more than happy to include them in this and any future thoughts on the market that we put out at least once a quarter.
I might add there's no charge for that newsletter. We are out of time, Jim. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you very soon.
Have a great trip, Bruce.
Thank you. It's time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Sallon, or you can email me at bruce@brucesallon.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in sun. This is the Bruce Sallon Show, a dad's point of view.
I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a going to school and I'm a working in a defense plan.